brute that he was. Just at that point he had begun despoiling a giant of a man, the Aetolian's best, Periphas, brilliant scion of Ochesius. The blood-stained god had downed him. But Athena, making herself invisible to Ares, put on the helm of the Lord of Undergloom. Then Ares saw Diomedes, whirled, and left Periphas lying where he fell. Straight onward for Diomedes lunged the ruffian god. When they arrived in range of one another, Ares, breasting his adversary's horses, rifled his spear over the yoke and reins with murderous aim. Athena, grey-eyed goddess, with one hand caught and deflected it, and sent it bounding harmless from the car. Now Diomedes put his weight behind his own bronze-headed spear. Pallas Athena rammed it at Ares's belted waist so hard she put a gash in his fair flesh and pulled the spearhead out again. Then brazen Ares howled to heaven, terrible to hear as roaring from 10,000 men in battle when long battalions clash. A pang of fear ran through the hearts of Trojans and Achaeans, deafened by insatiable Ares's roar. Like a black vapor from a thunderhead, riding aloft on storm-wind brewed by heat, so brazen Ares looked to Diomedes as he rose heavenward amid the clouds. High on Olympus, crag of the immortals, he came to rest by the Lord Zeus. Aching, mortified, he showed his bleeding wound and querulously addressed him. "Father Zeus, how do you take this insubordination? What frightful things we bear from one another doing good turns to men! And I must say we all hold it against you. You conceived a daughter with no prudence, a destroyer given to violence. We other gods obey you, as submissive as you please, while she goes unreproved. Never a word, a gesture of correction comes from you, only begetter of the insolent child.